Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for these who have helped lead us in worship, because really, what we've all been trying to do is to try and sing and praise an audience of one. And I pray that you are pleased. You've already given us your favor. You did that whenever you sent Jesus to die on a cross and become our Savior. But Lord, we want to, with the words of our mouth, as well as the attitude and meditations of our heart, that you be pleased with that. So thank you for those who led, but thank you so much for all of us that you've given us this ability to sing and praise. Let it drive it deep into our hearts and our minds, because, Lord, we're your church and we're here for a purpose. We want to understand that purpose so we can live it out, honor you, and bless a lot of people. So God, do a good work by us looking into your word and trying to figure out how do we work this out in our day-to-day lives. And do a great thing in us, in our families, in our church. And may your name always get the honor, the glory, the credit, because you're the one who deserves it. And everybody said, amen. So those of you who are in the room with me, you may take a seat. That would be weird for you to stand while I was talking, you know. So go ahead, get relaxed, take out your notes. Those of you who are joining us on the online campus, we're so grateful that you have chosen to use your time as well. Take out the notes that are there in the Church Center app and join in with us. Hey, Rock Springs, have I told you lately that I love you? I do. I love you very much, and I pray for you consistently, because I do believe that God has a purpose and a plan for you, your family, and our church family. So I just wanted you to know I love you, because Jesus has loved me immensely, continues to do so. In 1989, there was a guy in Philadelphia who went to a flea market. You know, how many of you love to do yard sales? Y'all do that thing? Yeah. God bless you. That's what I say. However, I will say that I proposed to my wife, and she said yes at a garage sale that we hosted. So, I mean, God can do amazing things through garage sales. We knew one another prior to the time. She didn't just show up. And they, okay. Now, in 1989, this guy in Philadelphia was out doing that kind of thing, and he purchased an old painting at a flea market for $4. He bought it not for the painting, but for the very cool, I guess you'd say, weathered, seasoned frame. He wanted that frame. So whenever he made this $4 purchase, he got it home and he began to tear out the painting, the canvas upon which the painting was painted. What he found behind that canvas was a folded old document, and he pulled it out, unfolded it, looked at it, and recognized it easily as a, he thought, a mimeographed or some, you know, sort of cheap copy of the Declaration of Independence. Since he figured it was an old copy, he went ahead and just put it, you know, in that collection. Don't you have that drawer in your kitchen where you don't know what the category of anything is in it, just you keep it. A friend asked him about it one time, and he said, I think you ought to contact a professional about this one. So he gave in to what his friend suggested, and he reached out to a famous auction house and authentication service. They actually flew someone from London to Philadelphia to look at it. After the professional examined it, he discovered that it was an original copy made in July of 1776. It was one of only 24 known to exist. And because it was behind that canvas, it was in excellent, excellent condition. And the expert estimated its value at auction at somewhere around $1 million. But he was wrong. Too bad. It sold in 1991 for $2.5 million. Now, if I could go to a garage sale and do that every weekend, you betcha I would do it. Yeah. I was doing some additional reading on that very unique story, and it was sold at auction back in 2005 for $8 million. But the reason I wanted you to know that story is, in some ways, I want to play the professional today And I want you to play the part of the person who bought something and you had it in a frame and you didn't know what you had. I preface all that to say I've got some young friends who are in the building, and this young friend said to me, she's like, I know you're doing this series about the church and that the church still matters, and you've worked your way through Acts and you've told us some historical stories, but it's like, so? And y'all are laughing because some of you is like, you didn't have the boldness of a teenager to ask that. Folks, what I told you the stories of is because the incredible story that something like a carpenter, a craftsman, so to speak, starts teaching in a backwater part of the Roman Empire in what we now know as the first century. And he starts saying these extraordinary things, and he's only on the scene essentially for 3 years. He dies a criminal's death, which was nothing extraordinary in and of itself. And yet, here we are, almost 2,000 years later, talking about this event. You just have to ask yourself, and historians try to. They try and find what they call the natural explanation. And there is no natural explanation of why we would be doing this. But there is a supernatural explanation, is that the church is an important thing. I think it is the most important group on earth. And when a local church like Rock Springs is healthy and it's working right, there is absolutely no stopping it. But the funny thing is, it's not because the church powers up, it's because the church takes a knee before the one and only King of Kings, Lord of Lords. How great is our God that he would change lives. So I'm the professional, you're the guy, you're the girl who just bought that painting. You bought it for one reason, and I'm here to tell you, you're actually in, you have a responsibility. You have a new gift that is something of such great value that you might not have known how great this value was. Because if something started within days of a man being crucified outside the walls of Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago, and then people who didn't have any reason to believe him, but he said, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, and then I will rise again. They didn't understand it, but then all of a sudden he came back to life, and death was finally defeated, completely defeated. Then they started telling people about it, about his death, his burial, his appearance, his resurrection. And because of that, they were able to say, and this man who did all these things, Jesus, is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Then they said, if you will bow the knee to Jesus Christ, he will provide forgiveness of all of your sin, past, present, and future. You will be released from your shame. That your life, no matter how long it lasts or how short it lasts, it has tremendous purpose. It actually has eternal impact. And not only that, he gives you an eternal life that he promised, and you don't have to worry about death and the grave because your life will not be taken from you. You have everlasting life. And people said, well, I'm not sure I can calculate all that, but I believe it because you saw a dead man walking. And then someone told someone, and then someone told someone, and then some, and I'm saying nearly 2,000 years later, here you and I are, right now, here we are. Now, I want us to step back away from that because I was walking down from my car to the campus this morning and I realized, you know, there's going to be a whole lot more people that are not in a worship experience, Rock Springs or any place else. There are going to be a whole lot more people not in a worship experience this Sunday than there will be in a worship experience this Sunday. That means there's a lot of people who don't know this good news. So does that mean that the church doesn't matter? I'm here to say I think it matters more than ever. Because I have walked and talked with people who do not have the hope of Jesus Christ, and they go on about their business, and they're trying their best to stave off that day whenever it's going to be their turn to be at their own funeral. And they don't know what to do with that. I've walked and talked with people who say, you know what, I am so sorry that I screwed up and sinned and made mistakes, but I don't know what to do with my guilt. So I medicate it, and I don't have to go into all the ways we medicate. But I'm saying sometimes we just want to dull the pain, either through fun or some finances or stuff that we probably shouldn't be involving ourselves in. And they live that way day to day. They go through the motions every single day. They get up, they go to work. come home, try to medicate, sleep it off, get back up. And their hope, their greatest hope in life is, if I can finally make it to the end of this work schedule, then I can move to Arizona, retire, and die. It's going to be awesome. Church, you and I, anyone in this room or anybody in the online campus who you know Jesus Christ, you have your past forgiven, a purpose for living, you have a future in heaven. And there's so many people who don't. I think church still matters. And the reason it matters, and like I said, when I was walking back from my car, it's not because everywhere you go in America, you can pretty well find, quote unquote, a church or a church building sitting on practically any corner in any place in America. And you got steeples, tall, short, some with crosses, some without. It's like, and that's what people think church is. And I'm here to say that is absolutely not what church is. I'm grateful for this building. It is a godsend. I'm grateful that we have a virtual campus. All of this. But folks, it's not an institution. It's not a building. It is a group of people who band together from wherever they are and go, my past has been forgiven. I have a purpose for living. I have a future in heaven. And other people need to know about this. And some of you go, yeah, I love Rock Springs. And I love Rock Springs too. I have given a great deal to seeing this church family get as healthy as it possibly can. What we're trying our best to do is be that remnant in our generation in which we say we are holding on not to, we're not holding on to just habits that we've been handed. We are holding on to the fact that Jesus Christ is who he says he is and that he did what he said he will do and he will continue to do that in people's lives. You wonder, some of you, you go, because Robert was saying clearly, some people think I'll go to Celebrate Recovery. And some of you wonder, like, why do they hoot and holler like that whenever they say Celebrate Recovery? Because if you have been lost in the darkness of sin and self, and you finally find a bright light that shines and says, you know what, Jesus is who he says he is, and he will help me do what he said he will help me do, then all of a sudden you start finding freedom, and you go, there is nothing like this in the whole world. I need other people to know about this. I want that to be the whole marching call for all of Rock Springs. This is what we do. So we want to retain that. We want to be that remnant in our generation that holds on to this fact that Jesus still changes lives. And if he still changes lives, what he said to us before he left, he said, I give you a great command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said, love your neighbor as yourself. And then right before he left, he said, now I want you to go. And as you go, I want you to tell everything that I've told you and keep passing it on. And then grow them up to spiritual maturity so that they can do the same thing. This is what we do, church. That's why we've been in this Church Still Matters, because God gave a command and he gave a commission so that he could grow a great ecclesia. That's who we are. That's us Christ followers. So here we are, and today, just going to get real down to the basics. This is what you need to be about. Because you need the church. Yeah. You need to be a part of the church. And if you're not a part of a church, I ask you, why not? Yeah. Jesus Christ gave himself for it. He encouraged us. He said, this is what we are to be. If you're still standing on the outside, if you're still on the edge and the ledge, come on in. Come on in. It's not going to be sleek. It's not going to be real streamlined. And there's going to be times whenever we get on one another's nerves. Did you know that Christians actually get on one another's nerves? Well, yeah. Yeah. Don't let that be a thing that causes you to be repelled by the church. We're a bunch of sinners who are saved by grace. He loves us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. And one of the ways he doesn't leave us that way is he says, I need you to learn how to love other people like I love you. Which implies, y'all, when he looks at you and says, you need to learn to love other people like I love you, he's going, you do realize that it is quite the task to love you like I do. Amen. I haven't even gotten to my notes yet, by the way. No, I have. This thing, it is global. It's huge. It's so big. And it's impacted everything about our world. But it still has power. It still has potential. And it's been handed off to us in our generation. Now it's our responsibility to manage all of that, to pass it on to the next generation as healthy and strong as we possibly can, and we've got to experience this for ourselves. So if any of you are trying to figure out, what is it that y'all do around here? Well, two things. I'm about to explain it to you, and then if you have opted or will opt to stick with me for lunch this afternoon, I'll also tell you what it means to be a participating member of Rock Springs, and I'll tell it to you again. It's very simple in terms of its explanation. It is very strenuous in how we live it out. But today, I want to get real clear about what God's five purposes are for His church, because they are the five purposes He has for your life. And you cannot fulfill these purposes for your life if you are not a part of His ecclesia, His gathering, His community, His movement that is still moving. So I'm going to give you these things, I hope, along the way to give some commentary on some action steps that I think we as a church are already taking and some action steps that we intend to take in the days to come. But I also hope that you, by the time you get done here today, will have written in the margin somewhere on something, you need to take some me steps. What are you going to do about what you hear today? Okay, here we go. Number one, I need the ecclesia. I need the church for a number of reasons, but number one, to keep me centered on God through worship. To keep me centered on God through worship. You need this, and the church exists for this. The church, as this movement, this group of people, these called out ones because of Jesus Christ, we are here to hand this off to one another. You have a responsibility to help me remember this. I have a responsibility to help you remember it. But let me just say this about your life and about mine. It's not about you. It's not. The last two or three generations have definitely turn that one upside down and said that it is most definitely about you. There is so much emphasis on me, me, me. I gotta be me. Now, see, if you think you can come to self-fulfillment by focusing on yourself, that's where you're being fed a lie, because your life is not about you. You don't discover it by focusing on you. You understand who you are whenever you focus on the God who created you. You say, can I get to know Him? Absolutely. That's why Jesus showed up. He said, this is what God is like. You need to understand it. But you dig a little deeper in all of that, y'all. You need to stay centered on God, and you do that in a thing called worship. And what the worship is you give Him His worth. How could we ever? We can't get enough mouth together to sing a song loud enough to give Him His worth. He is the God who created the universe. I love this new telescope that they put out in space and all these, these pictures. It's like, yeah, we got a better lens, and God's still way out beyond whatever focal length you want. He holds all of it in the palm of His hands. And like Tanya made so plain earlier, and He knows my name. Yay! But the thing is, you weren't created for you. You were created for Him. And if you stop and think about that long enough, here's the implications of that. Is that most of us want to know, what is the significance and purpose and meaning of my life? And I'm telling you, there it is. It's lying right there in front of you. You were made by God, and you were made for God. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying a lot of you think that your whole life is some sort of cosmic accident. You think it's just a random thing because you can't quite pick out what your purpose is. I'm here to tell you, God created you with an outstanding purpose. You're not an accident. You say, well, my parents said I was an accident. Well, there are accidental children, or I should say accidental parents, but there are no accidental children because God created you from their DNA. You're not an accident. You're not a random choice. He created you. He created you to love you. Could go on and on about that, do a whole message on it. Here's what I'm saying is, if you want to understand what the church is about, you need to understand what you're about. And if you are not in this habit already, please figure out a way to start making God the very core of everything that you are and everything that you do. because he is so relational. He wants to be the hub of your heart. He wants to be the axis of your existence. He wants to be the core of your being. He wants to be the focus of your attention. You got to center on him. He should be the stack pole around which everything in your life, your finances, your passions, your thoughts, everything in your life needs to be stacked around him. That is what the Bible describes as worship. Now, we did some praise and some worship by singing, and we will do it once again. But that's not the only way to express worship. And for some of you, you're going, I'm thankful because I cannot carry a tune in a bucket, so it doesn't really do me any good. You know, some of you have been told, I think you sing or should sing tenor. Like 10 or 12 miles from here should be just about enough. I will say that the psalmist did say, you don't have to have a great voice, you just need to make a joyful noise. Because your heart is what he's after. How do you know that Jesus has become? How do you know that God has become the center of your life? There are a number of ways, but the simplest is to look on the dashboard of your life, and if the worry light is blinking, you're probably not worshiping. Because here's what I found in my experience is you cannot worship and worry at the same time. Because to give God his worth and put him in the center brings you a peace that you cannot explain fully. But whenever you start letting your finances, your job, your family, your health, whatever it is, start to creep into the center spot of your life, then that's whenever you are trying to be in control. And I love you all, and so many of you are so strong and so creative, but I'm just here to tell you, church, whenever we start thinking we're large and in charge, that's when the worry starts to creep in, because we all know we are not large enough and we are not in charge enough to keep it from going in the ditch. But how about a God, whenever you make him the very center of who you are, that he says, I'll even take your problems and I'll redeem those too. He's like, win, win, win. You just can't lose if you put God in the center. So don't worry. If worry's going off on the dashboard of your life, then stop and say, God, I need to make you the center of my life. I don't want this anxiety. I don't want the fear and the worry and the distraction. I look back to you. Because, folks, it's a choice. And it's not, I know a lot of you have tried to have, you come to church or you tune in online and you do all these things and you're looking for the next, you know, next round of God bumps. What if you never felt another thing that gave you a quiver in your liver? Could you still say, but God, you have done this, you have done that, you sent Jesus, you raised him from the dead. I just go back to you are who you say you are, and you will do what you said you will do, whether I feel it or not. That's worship. I put a passage in here. Jesus himself said, the essence of what I'm trying to get across to you, he said, love, not warm fuzzy feelings, but give your attention. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And he said, this is the first and greatest commandment. Jesus didn't give a lot of commandments. He repeated a couple of them, and then he gave one extra. But he said, that's the first and the greatest, to love God with all that you are. I will tell you, the most important thing and most important choice you will make in your life is most important thing in your life is to know and love God. What have you decided about God? I will say to whoever's listening to me right now who's still awake, it's time to come in out of the cold. You're not going to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ when you get it all figured out. The day will come, though, and I hope today is that day in which you realize, oh, Jesus died for me. Me. That he knows me, that he wants to forgive me of my sin and give me purpose, and that he isn't like, I loved what Tanya had to say. I was, preach, girl, preach. He doesn't look at you and go, hey, you. He calls you by name. You need to make worshiping God the number one purpose of your life, the number one factor of your life. And I say all this because I have met enough people and had this conversation with enough people, and that is so many people will go through their entire life and never have a relationship with God. Because they still think, and this is one of the things I've tried to say over these weeks about what church is, it's not a religion. Amen. It's not a religion. A religion is what we try to do to say, you know what, if I do this, that's a building block. If I do this good thing and I build this step, and then I'll do another good thing and put another step on top of that, and I can stack them up. And perhaps if I get my stack high enough, I can climb up on it and I can reach God. You're climbing a ladder, but it's up against the wrong wall. Because all the time that you're doing that, the fact still remains, Jesus Christ came to tell us what God is like, to be the bridge between us and God. I quote it because it's such a great lyric from a song from the past, and that is, He came down to our level when we couldn't, and because we couldn't get up to His. It's not a religion, it is a relationship. But every time you try to fix your brokenness without centering on God and just taking Him at His word and taking His gift, you'll always gravitate toward your own version of religion, because our, you know what religion is? It's our attempt to control God. And He said, nope, the way it needs to work is I need to be in control. And He does not force Himself on you, He invites you. What God longs for is a relationship with you, a relationship that is authentic. He doesn't really go for people who live it in the fake. He loves you, but He goes, bless your heart. Where I come from, that was not a compliment. Right, Sandy? Bless his heart. He didn't realize that shirt's still out of fashion. You know, that's how it was attached. He wants things that are authentic. He wants you to be truthful to Him, warts and all. That's why Jesus said, whenever He was talking to the Samaritan woman, God is looking for people who worship Him in spirit and in truth. We need to worship God authentically with the way that we feel and our emotions. We also need to worship Him with our mind. But what He's getting at is it needs to be authentic and it needs to be accurate. Because we're not saying, you know, I think of God like this. It's like, I love y'all if that's what you say. I also say just bluntly, who cares? God is who He says He is. We don't make Him up. We come to Him on His terms, and we need to be accurate. But we also come to Him authentically to go, what you see is what you get. And He's like, finally, we're getting somewhere. God's on the hunt for people who aren't fake, who love to, well, not love, sometimes it's painful, but we deal with the truth. So if you're hearing me, I hope that you hear God speaking to your conscience today, and that is God saying, you know what? I am on the hunt for some people who really want to get close to me. Do you want to be close to me? Because that's the kind of person I want to know, and that's the kind of person I want to know me. And this thing called church that's been going on for 2,000 years is a movement that is designed to help you do that. Because everything we're trying to do here at Rock Spring circles around that idea. Right now, at 10 o'clock a.m. Mountain Standard Time is our regular attendance time. And it may be online, it may be in person. We are flexible, we are fast, we are fluid. But the point is, we try to have a weekly reminder to put God first in our life. If you go back to this thing called the church, the ecclesia, it says in chapter 2 of Acts, verse 46. We talked about that early in the series. It says that they worshiped regularly in the temple courts. They did that because there was no one big place to handle all these people who had come to Christ. So they went into this multi-acre area out in front of the temple there in Jerusalem, and they worshiped together regularly in those courts. If you look at what else they did, there were all kinds of, they sang, they prayed, they gave money to help others, they testified of God's ability to save, they baptized, which, by the way, did y'all know we're having baptism here next Sunday? It's going to be so fun, so fun, so fun. I've had some conversations this week, and we're up to like 5 or 6 people we're baptizing. And if you, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. They also share communion. Did you know that the week after that, we're going to circle our service around communion and its beauty and what, oh, man. Shoo, 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 shoo. Mm. There are so many different expressions of worship, but church, you as an individual, and we as a collective, need to keep it a priority because that's what the church is about. That's why it's still full of potential, is that whenever we acknowledge God as the center of who we are and what we're doing here, then it starts to impact people heart by heart, life by life. All right, whenever I speak, everything gets recorded on Sundays. So this is probably going into some sort of archive, and y'all will be able to try and hold me to it, but that's okay. I am praying that by this time next year, we will have baptized over 30 people who've come to Jesus Christ in this next year. But the kind of thing I'm telling you about is if we can worship with our lives about what God's doing in our lives, then you and I are going to be speaking about what God is doing in our lives, and it's going to spread. In other words, we aren't going to sit back on our blessed assurance and say, God, just send us 30 people to get baptized. If we are trying to make God the center of our life, can you covenant with me to say, I will do everything within my power to push the name of Jesus Christ and his saving ability into the life of someone I love, someone I know, maybe even somebody I don't like? And could we celebrate that God's still on the throne and doing great things? So I want us to see that happen. I'd love to see this room, those of you who have never been here from the online campus, we have seating capacity for about 300 in this room, and we keep hitting about 120. I want us to get to 300. You say, so you want a big church? I want everybody to know Jesus, and I want them all to grow to full maturity. Whatever that means, let's do it. So could we also, over this next year, double our online campus engagement? Yes, I believe we can. But we'll have to focus on Jesus and make him the center of it all. And those of you who are, let's say, in the grade 6 through grade 12, we started a thing this past Sunday night. It's called Fuel. It's for high schoolers and middle schoolers. It started off pretty good. We're going to keep it going. It's going to happen again this next Sunday, not today, next Sunday. I invite you to come because I think we ought to keep building a vigorous environment for students. There's a next step of worship for you personally, and that is I hope that you'll learn how to worship God every day, not just on weekends, because if you're trying to get by on what I tell you or what some other teacher tells you one time a week, you're starving spiritually. But you can get the Bible app, and you can do readings with other people, and you can set aside 15 minutes of your day to have some time alone with God. I pray that you would do that. He's like, I don't know how to. Then come talk to me. I will teach you. It's very easy to do, and it will make a huge difference in your life. I'm not the only one who can do it. You need a spiritual partner. Just find somebody who's putting it into practice that Jesus is the center of their life too. Psalm 27:4 says, the thing I seek most of all is the privilege of meditating in his temple, living in his presence every day of my life. Let me make a side note commentary. Ever since Jesus arrived, there is no need for a temple in Jerusalem because you and I, as believers in the ecclesia, we are the temple. So you can actually apply this in New Testament terms. The thing I seek most of all is this privilege of meditating in this life, this thing called the ecclesia, and in my own life, in his temple, living in his presence every day of my life and delighting in his incomparable perfections and glory. Can anybody say amen to that? Got to go on to the next. I need, you can put this in your own words, I need the ecclesia to keep me connected to his family through fellowship. To keep me connected through fellowship. Where I come from, because I was raised Baptist, fellowship meant covered dish. Right? Got to Colorado, I said, when are we going to have dinner on the ground? And I'm like, that's weird. Where are you from? No, where I grew up, that was dinner on the ground, usually the fifth Sunday of every month. That meant a picnic. Guess what, y'all? With baptism next week, we're going to have dinner on the ground. Well, I mean, it's not going to be on the ground, but we're going to be on these grounds, and we're going to have a picnic out on the parking lot and celebrate so many different things. You say, is that fellowship? Chips, dips, fellowships, that's kind of... No, it's way more than that. You do center your life on God through a relationship with Jesus Christ, but because he has bought you the right to be a part of his forever family, you start to connect with other believers who've made that same connection with God and that centering on God. And then you learn to love them. And sometimes the learning is a little hard. It's a little difficult. But fellowship, honestly, goes along the lines of it's two fellows on the same ship and it's about to be a long cruise. Okay? You learn to love other people in this gathering known as the family of God. Peter, one of the guys who was closest to Jesus, said this: God has given us, you and me, God has given us the privilege of being born again. So that, that's a purpose statement. He didn't just give that to you so that you can go, look at me. He's given us the privilege of being born again so that we are now members of God's very own family. When you get into a family, however you get into that family, it comes with a certain set of responsibilities. God most definitely wants you in his family. He wants you to be in his forever family. But that's because you and I are not designed to live isolated lives. He doesn't have the attitude in his forever family of it's just us four and no more. He wants another chair set at the table. He doesn't want you to be isolated. There is no indication that there are any Lone Ranger Christians out there. Should be, because that's unhealthy. He didn't say you're to be independent, a solo act. But his intent is that you would be connected and interdependent because we need each other. It's supposed to be a team effort. Why? Because he's trying to get us heaven ready. That's the kind of life we will have in our forever life. Not soft, fluffy clouds and togas and playing harps. That's not heaven. That's another place. But anyway, he said, you learn how to live with each other here. But here's the deal. The only way you learn stuff is by practicing it. And if you never learn how to love other people because you are never relating, you are never forgiving, and you're never receiving forgiveness, you're never working through stuff, if you're never working and getting along, then you honestly have missed the second purpose that God's given to you and to the church. Because I've been in churches where people can get to church on Sunday and they're like, how are you? How are you? I'm good. I'm fine. And then as they leave, they're like, did you see what she was wearing? And all of a sudden, it's like, and then they go their own separate ways for about 6.5 days, and then they get back together and they pretend. But there is no connection in his forever family. You and I both need the church, the ecclesia, his family, to show us how do we stay connected. Paul wrote to his friend Timothy, and he said, that family that I'm talking to you about, Timothy, is the church, is the ecclesia of the living God. And he says it's the support and the foundation of the truth. I know stuff about you. No, seriously, I do. I know that if you live long enough, you will experience a personal earthquake or two or ten. You go, boy, you are a real encourager. How many of you have ever been in an earthquake, a real physical earthquake? Fun stuff. I've only been in one when I was out in California to help some kids, and wow. And everybody hit the deck and was riding, you know, running for the safe places, and I'm standing there at that check-in desk. I'm going, what just happened? They said, there was an earthquake. I'm like, whew. I'm talking about the kind of earthquakes with you, though, that you're going to have a health earthquake. The diagnosis will come through, and you're going to go, I don't know what to do. You're going to have a financial earthquake. You'll probably have one that's an emotional or moral earthquake. And if you do not have the support and the foundation of the truth, it's going to shake you right down to nothing. You and I need the support and the foundation of the truth that he's talking about, and that is the church. Otherwise, you're going to crack up. What is that support and foundation? It's fellowship. It's that ability to be warts and all with other people and realize that Jesus loves you both so much that he would rather die than be without you. And then he turns around and says, now I need you to practice learning to love them like I love you. You go or look across the room like, them? Uh-huh, them. Why? Because I've been through a few earthquakes myself. And I know that I need the truth, but I'm just here to tell you through experience, you have to have something more than just the truth. You need to have grace and mercy with skin on. You need friendships. You need the truth, and you need friendships. In Acts 2, it tells how they did it. They believed. It says, those who believed were baptized. Hey, did I tell y'all we're having baptism next Sunday? If you haven't been baptized, tell me about it. Those who believed were baptized, and they were added to this ecclesia, this group. They joined with the other believers and committed themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. Apostles' teaching is they were starting to write the New Testament, trying to explain what Jesus had done in fulfilling Scripture, but they committed themselves to that teaching, to the fellowship of trying to work this out together. They worshiped, there's that word again, together regularly at the temple courts, and they met in small groups in homes for communion. Did I tell y'all we're going to have a service dedicated to communion? That's going to be fun. And then they shared their meals with great joy and thankfulness. If you want to be healthy and balanced in your Christ-following life, you're going to need this. Online, a time of worship, or you're going to be in person like this. But you also need a time in which you're with just a few people who you learn to love. Because you can worship with a big group, but you can't learn to love 120 people in a room. Just can't. So I need the ecclesia to help me keep centered on God. I need the ecclesia to help me connect to His family. Because like I said, you can worship with a bunch, but you can only fellowship with a few. This is so important. I've said it for years. And I know people like, well, just help me make it. There's nothing elegant about it. It's just the way we've got to do. You need to find a group or start a group or a team for God. It's the reason this year we've had two summits. We've had the Serving Summit back in January. We had another one in April. We're about to have another one in September. Why are we doing that? Because it helps train us, but it also keeps us, we've got to be connected. We've got to be participating, and we also got to be activated. That's one of the reasons why we want people to be on a group. We need people to be on teams. You need to familiarize yourself with this. We're not just going through the motions. We're actually trying to take us to the next step. So what is our next step as a fellowship? All of us together. Like I said, connection, participation, and come in September, that would be activation. On top of that, we're already making plans, and I'm so excited. Starting in October, we're going to have a spiritual growth campaign, and we're going to have daring faith to do things we have never done as a church, and it will help us connect with one another because we cannot get it done unless we are connected. Got to go on so quickly. I want to tell you so much about all this, but I go back to you. If you don't take advantage of these things and you don't set a goal for yourself in fellowship, what's going to happen? Well, I've been through this enough in my own life and the life of my friends and people that I've worshiped with, is that if you don't have some warts and all relationships somewhere in your life focused on Jesus, I pity you. And if you are not willing to have a warts and all about your own life with someone else, I pity you. You say, why are you giving me your pity? Okay, let's just move it out of the spiritual realm. Did you know that if you don't have those kinds of relationships in your life, you are three times more likely to die an early death? You are four times more likely to suffer emotional burnout, five times more likely to be clinically depressed, and 10 times more likely to be hospitalized for a mental disorder. Wow, you'd almost think that God told us to do this because He loves us and wanted us to be blessed. Gang, we need each other, and if you're not in a group, you say, well, where am I supposed to start? Do you have two friends? Do you have one friend? Just pick one person, maybe two. Get the discussion guides and say, let's do what the preacher asked me to do. Pick a time. Meet for an hour, hour and a half. Share a cup of coffee or two. Go through the discussion. Why? Because what we're trying to do is to take the truth, and we're trying to apply it. We're trying to live it out. There you have a group. I'm just telling you, I've been through this so many times. There are absolutely no excuses for you not to be in a group. No excuse. No more procrastination. No more saying, I'm too busy. Because if you're too busy to do what God asked you to do, then you're too busy. You got to have the time for relationships and let go of something else because He'll bless you. So you say, what is my next? Because I told you what we got coming corporately. What about you? Look at what Acts 2 says. It says they believed, They were baptized, they participated in regular worship, and they connected with a group. Where are you in that order? Have you believed? Hope you'll believe today that Jesus is who he says he is and he'll do what he said he'll do. If you make that step, then you need to get baptized. Did I tell you we're having baptism next Sunday? Hey, it's almost as if it's a God thing. Regular worship, connected. Where are you? Don't just stay where you're at. Take the next step. Anybody getting anything out of this today? Come on. Third thing. The ecclesia helps to keep me growing through discipleship. Oh, Lord, I've had so much church experience. Discipleship when I was younger always sounded like you need to memorize more verses of Scripture. Is there anything wrong with memorizing more verses of Scripture? No! But it's not about having a big head full of knowledge about God, and that's where it stops. I found over time that, you know what churches are notorious for? Is that we grow big-headed babies. They get all cranium full of lots of knowledge and consider that discipleship, but they've never learned to use their hands and their feet to actually get up and go do what God told them to do. Reminds me of a psalm. I know a man, maybe you know him too. I can't sing the whole thing. It was just a song by Amy Grant called Fat Baby. It was a wonderful song. Very convicting. Discipleship, if you want to know what the scripture is talking about, is a Bible word for grow up. Grow up. Do not stay a baby. Get into the process. Become what God wants you to do. Because if you stay a baby whenever you don't have to, that breaks his heart. I say a lot of people are saved, but they are very shallow. That's why the writer Hebrews said, you know, by this time in your faith walk, a lot of y'all should have already been teachers, but you're dragging your heels. Because when you're growing and maturing, that's when you start passing it on to other people. Paul said this in his letter to the Christians at Colossae. He said, and now, just as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. He said, so let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. And then he keeps on writing and says, and then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Do you know how you know if you're getting spiritually mature? Because I wouldn't take a whole lot of time to just look back and go, boy, look at me, aren't I spiritually mature? Because when you start saying that, you're probably not that spiritually mature. Okay. How do you know that you're growing spiritually mature? Go back and listen to last week's message. Are you becoming more loving? Does your love show up in peace and patience and kindness and gentleness? The more you see of that in your life, that's where you will see your maturity. How about better skills? Better skills at living this life, like we talked about, not only eternal life, but a better life. How many of you could say, this year I have actually done more work to make peace, I worked to make peace in my relationships and in the relationships with others, than I spent actually typing stuff on Facebook just because I was mad? If you're making more peace, if you are using your words to encourage, if you are seeking the wisdom of God and trying to apply it in other people's lives, that is maturity. But maturity in and of itself is not the end. Maturity is actually so that you can minister better. He wants you to grow up, learn it, pass it on, help other people grow up, trust his wisdom, obey his commands. That's when you start to develop the character of Jesus Christ, and you do it by knowing his word. It's time to grow up, y'all. So our next step, in order to help you grow. Well, our growth groups, let me tell you, our growth groups, if you start them, the intent is not to be a Bible study class, and it's not intended to be a support group just exclusively. What we're trying to get at is, what does God's word say? So I tell you this, say what, so what, now what? Whenever you listen to God's word, what did it say? Do you understand what it said? So what? What am I supposed to do about it? And number three, what I'm actually going to do about it. Here's my plan. So that is one thing that you can do, is to take advantage of what we do around here. The next step for you personally, we have a thing available to us called the spiritual health assessment. If you're already in a group, your group leader can tell you how to get a hold of that. You're like, I'm not in a group, but I sure want to take a spiritual health assessment. Then you write me at david@rocksprings.church. I'll send you one, then we can have a discussion. It will give you an idea of how healthy you are and how you can grow. But you need to let me know so that we can work through this together. So, where have we come from so far? The ecclesia keeps me centered on God through worship. keeps me connected and grounded through real and loving relationships. That's fellowship, and it helps keep me growing to be like Christ. That is discipleship. The fourth one, the ekklesia, helps keep me giving back. Giving back through ministry. This is ground level, y'all. Everything that I'm telling you is what the church has practiced for 2,000 years. This is what it looks like in every corner of the globe. You and I, as individuals and as a group, it keeps us giving back through ministry. I grew up in a church culture in which there was the clergy and then there was the laity. There was the preacher and there were the laymen. There is no division like that in Scripture. There are responsibilities like that in Scripture, but we're all supposed to be like Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 gives me my job description that I'm supposed to be equipping each one of you who is a part of Rock Springs. I'm trying my best to equip you to be the best follower of Jesus Christ you can possibly be. That's because just because you have pastor or reverend in front of your name does not make you a minister. And if you don't have that in front of your name, that doesn't make you a minister. Nope. If you are a member of the body of Christ, you are automatically a minister of the body of Christ. Everybody in this room is called to be a minister for Jesus Christ. It is, as they used to say in my childhood, it's an all skate. Come on, y'all, let's go. Use your gifts and your abilities that God gave you to help other people, and you do it in the love of Jesus Christ. Peter said this, God has given each of you some special abilities. I'm looking at you. God gave you some special abilities. Do you know what they are? Are you using them? God has given you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, to help other people. You say, how do I do that? You serve God by serving people. That's how it works. There is no other way to serve God. You serve God by serving other human beings. The ekklesia allows us to say, this is what I have to offer, and now I'm going to make a contribution of my life in Jesus' name. You leave this place better than you found it. And I'm not talking about Rock Springs. You leave this world better because you serve in Jesus' name. That's ministry. That's serving. Because as I said earlier, you get to practice here of stuff that you're going to get to do in heaven. You're going to be able to serve here, but you need to start. You're going to be able to serve in heaven, but you have to start practicing here. Do it now. You say, but that sounds like I'm trying to work for my salvation. Hey, y'all, do not get confused. I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation only comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That is a gift. You come to a point in which you take the knee and you say, Jesus, you are going to be my forgiver and leader. I pledge my all to you. And you keep on doing that. And he gives you salvation, getting into heaven. That is never and will never be based on what you do. But what I'm talking about is your reward. Because your reward has to do with how much can he trust you with, your responsibility. And the things you'll be given in heaven are most definitely based on what you do now. So you need to practice your serve. You need to minister. You need to bring heaven to earth. You, as it is in heaven, we want it to be here on earth. You know what? I am so thankful that I have served in so many ways throughout the years. Because I'm just telling you, my church experience is vast, vast. 650 some odd churches, but because I was raised in it, fourth generation pastor, I've worked in the nursery, I've worked in preschool, I've worked in toddlers, I've worked with middle schoolers, I've worked with grade schoolers, high schoolers, college age, young marrieds when I was a young married, and even after, I've worked with the senior citizens. I've married people. I've buried people. I know how to pray with them. I know how to do all these things. You're going, why are you? I'm just telling you, I got all kinds of church experience. I love ministry. I think giving your life away for the sake of Jesus Christ is worth every moment. But I also have to tell you the reality of what I have come to in these years because I hate to admit it, but I'm in the age to where I'm in the home stretch of my ability to serve at the level that I've been serving. So what I'm telling you, church, is actually getting activated right now in our church family, and that is, yes, we started Fuel, and I'm going to give my fuel to helping that grow and burn. But I told them from the get-go, I cannot do it for them, but I will do it with them. I will bring what I've got to the table, but I cannot do it by myself. And some of you say, well, I care about students. Then show it. show up for fuel, even though you say, I need the fuel because they wear me out. I get you, brother. I get you. But if you care about the next generation, then put your money where your mouth is. Let's do it. We're starting a praise team because we can do even better than we've been doing. I'm just telling you, I can help do that, but I can't do it. But I promise you, church, if you are willing to do what God is asking you to do, I will give everything I've got to try and get you trained and as mature in what you're trying to do as you can possibly be. So, what's our next steps? All kinds of stuff. We're trying to make our children's ministry, which is already so super blessed and super secure, we're making it even more secure. We need more volunteers. We've got the students things going on. We've got CR. We've got everything that happens on the weekends. We've got interaction with our partners in the community, like the Good Sam or our Heart to Heart and so many others that we could do. What if we were to actually say, you know what, God, we believe that we can overcome spiritual emptiness, we can try and knock down self-serving leadership, poverty, disease, and illiteracy all around us, as well as across the world. And we started something that we call the Peace Plan, P-E-A-C-E, in which we get to plant or partner with churches to promote reconciliation between people and between God and others. We can equip servant leaders, we can assist the poor, we can care for the sick and educate the next generation. What if we actually started putting together the plans for a peace center here in our community in which those things happened and you and I had a part in that? I want to talk to you some more about that in the days ahead. What's the next step? What's your next step in growth? Real simple, just get involved. It's not somebody else's business, it's ours. Start a group, step out in faith, expect God to do something. I would say the same thing I was taught all along, and that is, if you show up in the family of God and you say, whatever, meaning, Lord, show me whatever you need me to do, he will use you. Y'all, with as many people as we have right here, we should never, ever have a volunteer problem in RSK or RSY. It should never happen. No reason that we don't have enough volunteers. We have got it. So I think we should say, God, I don't know what you want me to do, but whatever it is, I want to do it. The Bible says, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your work for the Lord is never wasted. I dare you, I double dog dare you to say these words, God, whatever you need, I'm ready. Yeehaw. Got real quiet in here. Okay. Fifth one. I need the ecclesia to keep me reaching out through evangelism. Evangelism sounds like big hair to me. Yeah. Television evangelists who talk funny and have really big hair. Yeah. Evangelism means to share good news with somebody. You pass on something good that you have experienced to somebody else. It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around pass it on. You say, what am I passing on? Good news. You're not an accident. Good news. God's made you for a purpose. Good news. No matter what you've done, Jesus has already paid the price for your sin. That's good news, and everybody needs to hear it. And guess what? God said, you're the delivery system. The very moment that you say yes to Jesus, he could have zapped you right to heaven. Why did he leave you here? So that you can tell other people what you have experienced about Jesus and about the ecclesia, because it still matters. Forgiveness, purpose, heaven. It's the reason why we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because everybody, think about it, whenever you go to City Market or to Walmart, can you believe that God's doing a great work in Walmart? It's an amazing thing. Everybody that you lock eyes with is someone for whom Jesus Christ died. You go, but I don't like them. And I say, it doesn't matter. You are the delivery system. to tell them in one way or another, by your kindness, by your words, whatever it may be, everybody you know is going to spend eternity somewhere, either in the presence of God in heaven or in the absence of God in hell. It is a very serious thing. And Jesus came to earth so that we don't have to go to hell. We get to go to heaven. And so God expects of us, 2 Corinthians 5, he says, God's done it all. He sent Jesus. He sent Christ to make peace between himself and us. And he's given us the work of making peace between himself and others. So what this means is that God was in Christ offering peace and forgiveness to the people of this world. And now he's given us the work of sharing the message about peace, his message about peace. So what are our next steps in terms of evangelism? I already kind of touched on this. I will say, y'all, life, as it is prone to do, like I said about earthquakes, Rock Springs got knocked on its heels the last couple of years. Me personally, I got knocked back. But now, I'm going to be an evangelist. But now, I see God doing things in individuals' lives, and in groups, and in teams. And I see that he is unleashing what he called us to do once again. That's why I say I am praying that we see at least 30 people come to know Jesus and get baptized this next year. We're starting with 4 or 5 already. Did you hear that? Okay. Going to have a conversation this week that could possibly lead to partnering with an international local church. Them with us with them, because they actually are in a rural area like we're in a rural area. They don't speak the same language, but what if God opened up that door to where we went to help them and they came here to help us? So that we could reach people in our respective neighborhoods that we're not reaching yet. That's just one of our next steps. What about yours? You say, what am I supposed to do with that? And I'm saying, we have an online campus. People can actually check out Rock Springs and never set foot in the door. They don't even have to chat. You can just say, watch our services and see what you think. It's happened again and again. People do that, and then eventually they say, hey, I might want to show up there. Bring somebody to church. Invite them. Give them the web address. Tell them about the good things that God's doing in your life. Just a quick survey. How many of you actually came to Rock Springs because somebody told you about Rock Springs? Most people showed up in our environments because someone spoke to them. Just invite somebody. Is anybody a part of Rock Springs because of you? Oh, let me make it even more. Is there going to be anybody in heaven because of you? Could be. The resurrection power we were singing about a while ago is the resurrection power to tell everybody the good news. So many things I want to say. Did you realize that every weekend when I'm speaking, I'm actually backed by the prayers of people? Some of you go, yeah, I know you got a prayer team. Now I'm talking about if you were here with us a few short year, month or so, a year ago, there was drywall leaning up against the... Okay? And some of you went and wrote the names of people you want to come to Jesus on those sheets of drywall. They actually line this whole back area right here. It's possible your name was on there, and that's the reason you're here, is that God's been working in your life, and he brought you here. I don't know. Just saying, who do I know that doesn't know Jesus, and how can I get that word out to them? Let's keep doing this. Okay. You've heard, if you've been around Rock Springs any length of time at all, you've heard me say these words before. This is not a new message by any stretch. You say, how many times are you going to give this message? I will stop giving this message when we're doing it all. Okay? Then I'll stop. I'm asking you, what is your biggest personal challenge? How will you take this to the next step? Bible says, if you believe, get baptized. If you're new to the scriptures, start reading the gospels and get to know Jesus. If you're like, I need to get connected, then come talk to me. Or like I said, just find one or two other friends. Start. Start showing up. Just showing up a little bit early and say, I want to help. Find a need. Meet it. Here on campus. Do that across the street, wherever you may be. Invite somebody to a Rock Springs event. Just pick something, y'all. This is what we do because we're handing it off to the next generation. It may not be smooth. It may not be elegant. It might be rough around the edges, but that's okay. God takes us where we are, takes us to where we want to be. But just express your desire and your willingness to say, I want to be a part of this ecclesia. I want to take it to the next generation. I want, you know what? You keep doing this, you'll learn. I'm living proof. So here's what I've said all along in this series. Be bold in your invitation. Don't hesitate. We've got great news. Be bold in your volunteering. Don't just talk about helping. Truly help. Be bold in your generosity and your giving. You know what? If everybody that was a part of Rock Springs actually gave in percentage giving, as in the Bible speaks of a tithe, if everybody in this room were to give the first 10% of their income, as God has instructed us to do, the resource challenge would go down immensely, and you would be blessed for doing it. Those are the things that we can do. Just start somewhere, and let's extend our kingdom capacity. I would also say be bold in your prayers. It's good to pray for traveling grace. It's good to pray for sick people. But like I've said, pray for people who are far from God. Pray for God's clear direction on how do you reach them, and then pray for the courage and faith to actually put feet to those prayers. Church, this is us. What I've tried to express in our follow series, in the Church Still Matters series, is this is us. This is the church. It's not an institution. It's not a building. It is us, and we are responsible for it. Will we be faithful enough to take it to the next generation of people who are going to come to Christ? Before we actually shut this down and have a song to wrap us up, I want to pray for you, and then I'll ask you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, you are so kind and gracious to us. What we've had here today is a challenge on how to be this thing that we've been studying about. So Heavenly Father, help each one of us, wherever we are, to take whatever our next step is. We want to take steps together. We want as a group, as a family, as this movement, we want to keep on moving because we want to grow. We want to become more mature. But God, we need this as individuals. So help us to have heard what we heard today. Show us where it fits in our minds and our hearts, and then give us the courage and wisdom to act on what we know to do. This is a big deal, and help us never to lose sight of that. We don't want to make excuses. We don't want to postpone it. Just help us to do it. Now, with your head bowed, your eyes still closed, in your heart, maybe you need to pray, God, what I really want to do is I want to center my life around you. Or maybe it's I want to get better connected with your family, your fellowship. Or maybe your next step is, God, please give me the wherewithal to grow in spiritual maturity, to make a contribution with my life, or to communicate your love to someone else. I want someone to be in heaven because of me, Jesus. That's what I want. I thank you so much, Jesus, for us having this church family and how we can learn from about our purposes from being a part of the church. Again, sir, ma'am, if you have never opened up your life to Jesus as his as forgiver and leader, could you pray the simplest prayer of faith and just with all sincerity say, Jesus, I believe in you. I need you to be my forgiver and leader. And then I want to follow through and be baptized as you commanded so I can be a part of this work here. So now, Father, would you please build your kingdom in us and through us? And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.